Welcome back to Kidmin Talk. This is Carl Bastian, your host, coming to you from Kidology.org. Of course, you can always find the podcast at KidminTalk.com. And I'm excited to have you back for episode number 147. This is part three of a three-part series. But don't hit stop. You don't have to go back. You can listen to these in any order. It is my 10 secrets, now declassified, on how to be a great kid communicator. Remember, it's not just enough to talk to the kids. You got to be teaching the kids. And to teach, you got to be communicating. Remember, if they don't hear you, you haven't communicated, all right? And so I've been giving away my secrets on the podcast. Today's podcast is sponsored by Homeschool Magnet, a brand new homeschool complete program. I'll tell you a little bit about it in just a few minutes, but I'm glad you're here. Make sure you are fully connected to Kidology. You know, you got to subscribe to the podcast, whether you follow on YouTube or on Apple Podcasts or Facebook, however you're connected. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram, all the different places that we try to communicate with you. I'm glad you're here. Thank you always for your feedback, encouragement. Always makes my day to know you find this helpful. So let's do it. Let's talk Kidmin right now. All right, we're going to dive into the final installment in this three-part series. This was a new workshop I put together recently for some mega conference that I did online. You probably know what I'm talking about. And it was a lot of fun. And I had to jam it into 40 minutes, and I felt like everybody was drinking from the fire hose. And that's why I decided, man, I want to do this for the podcast, but I'm going to break it into a three-part series. So in part one, we talked about starting with a bang, planning surprises and breaking the mold. And I broke that down and what that means. In the last one, we talked about turning spectators into participants, creating experiences, getting off the stage, and the importance of actually using God's word, which you would think would be obvious, but it isn't, and we unpack that. Today, I want to share my last three secrets. They're super important, and they are essential. But first, I want to quickly tell you about our sponsor. This has been an incredible year, 2020. Man, learning and education's been different. I don't need to explain it to you because you lived it. But many people are homeschooling for the first time or are homeschooling and looking for new options. Check out Homeschool Magnet. Right now, they are taking names for their waiting list. This is an interactive homeschool experience, provides a full curriculum, live experiences in an environment where kids are interacting with other students, group learning, individual learning, teachers interacting with parents, with certified teachers. There's even openings if you're interested in being a teacher. You can go to homeschoolmagnet.com/4-teachers to find out how you can become a part of it. Please do check it out. It's amazing. I told more about it two podcasts ago. But if this is something that might meet a need for you and your family or the families in your church, maybe drop a link in your parent email and as a service to your parents, just because your parents in your ministry, they're looking for options and they're praying about options. I had a parent call me just this week to share with me some concerns about what was happening as she was hearing what was going on in the Zoom call with her child in the public school. And she was really wrestling with, man, do I want him hearing these things and being exposed to this agenda when she really just wanted him to be learning how to read and to write in history and all that. And she was really wrestling with it. And so I was excited to tell her about this. And so this may be an answer to prayer for families in your church. So that's homeschoolmagnet.com. Explore it yourself. Become familiar with it, whether it's for you or it may just be something that the parents in your church would love to hear about. I also want to make sure that you are aware, in case you aren't. I'm always surprised when I'm talking to Kidology folks and they don't know about the wealth of resources that Kidology has created and put together and offered over the course of this crazy year for responding to this whole COVID crisis and the challenges of this era of ministry. And we put them all together in one place. If you go to kidology.org/COVID-19, without the dash. You can even leave a 19 off. We made it easy. And it's all there. Webinars I've done, podcasts on the subject, social distance games, because as you reopen, but you're trying to keep social distancing and masks and all these things to keep the kids safe or just to honor regulations that your state may be imposing on you, all those resources are there. And so definitely check that out. If you've got some ideas or resources that you've created, let us know. Share them and we'll add them to the website so other churches can benefit from your initiative, your creativity, and your hard work, and to help them not just survive but thrive during this incredible season. So let's dive into this topic for the final episode of Secrets of Great Kid Communicators. Because I always say, just because you're talking does not mean you're teaching. All right. The last time we talked about that internal screensaver that goes up, and the kids are looking at you, but inside they're thinking about something else. And so we have to take that extra effort to make sure that we are doing our best to communicate God's word in a way that pierces through the resistance or just the counter messages that they're getting all the time from the world. So we have gone through, I already reviewed those with you. So we're going to start off on number 8. Number 8's a big one, and you know this, but we're going to unpack it a little bit. Number 8 is be visual, all right? Kids are visual, all right? You need to make sure that they can see what you're saying. That's why I release this podcast on Apple Podcasts as auditory, but also visual. Some of you are watching this on Facebook or on YouTube because everybody learns differently. But what does it mean to be visual? Let's look at 3 arenas of being visual. The first is you, all right? How do you look to your kids, all right? Now, I'm not going to talk about personal hygiene. That's been an issue I've had to address with interns in the past. Like, you need to take a shower, you need to wear clean clothes, you need to shave maybe. Okay, I'm going to assume that I don't, you know, need to mention that because you need to look sharp. You're representing Jesus to the kids, so let's call that a given. But when I'm saying you, I mean, how do you present yourself to the kids? So when they meet you, they know you are a kid person, all right? And that can be a costume that you're wearing. It can be kid-friendly, bright colors. Women, it can be jewelry. Guys, it can be ties. Just the what you're carrying around. I try to every week have something about me visually that says I'm not just another one of these boring grown-ups walking around. You know, when you look around a sea of grown-ups, you see a lot of miserable people. And I don't mean that in an insulting or a bad way. Life's hard, and a lot of people are living hard lives, and that's reflected on their countenance. And Proverbs even talks about the countenance reflects the heart of the person. You know, a good friend of mine, David Laughlin, one of his lines in his magic shows is he says, if you guys are happy, can you please notify your face? You know, and I love that line because sometimes it just seems like people are miserable. Well, there's a reason that kids often don't want to grow up. They look at grown-ups and they're like, why would I ever want to become one of them? So I want to be one of those grown-ups that kids go, okay, if that's being a grown-up, I'm okay with growing up someday because he looks like he's having a blast. He looks like he's funny and he looks like he's having fun and enjoying life. You know, Jesus came to make our joy complete, right? And we're going to talk about that a little more a little bit down later in the podcast. So visually, your countenance, being happy, being excited, being energetic. You've heard the saying, you're either a thermostat or a thermometer, right? The thermostat sets the temperature, the thermometer merely reflects the temperature. You need to set the temperature with your attitude, with your personality, you need to have a bounce in your step, a wind in your sail, and then how you dress. And every week I ask myself, what can I do to make myself more visual? Recently, I reordered, I'd lost mine years ago, the invisible dog leash, and it cost me, I was shocked, $8, like free shipping on Amazon. So I could just walk around the lobby with this invisible dog and walk around. The kids loved it. And when I went up to grown men or boys only, I would kind of angle it so it looked like the dog maybe was putting his leg up. And I'd go, hey, no peeing on people. And people would laugh. And it was just a hoot. I put that away. I'll get it out later. I found this old spy scanner and I put on a COVID scanner and I'd go up and I'd scan people, and I would never mention the virus because there's enough fear related with that. But I would scan kids, and I would look at it and say, oh, it says super silly, or it says super smart. And I would just always compliment them, all positive. But just having that silly scanner going off, it was a visual, and it was fun. Because I want them to know from the hat that I wear, you know, to the outfits I wear. We're an outdoor theme here in Colorado, the Outpost. So I've got a vest I wear, and the pockets are full of things. And I've got a button on my vest that says, I do whatever the Rice Krispies tell me to do. People read that and they laugh. On the back is a giant logo of our Outpost ministry. I should have worn it for the podcast, right? I should have done what I'm preaching. But you want to make sure that you communicate that you're a kid guy from the moment you come in. I've got some giant clown shoes that I wear when I do preschool ministry. I was at a conference years ago, and there was a guy selling the custom clown shoes. And of course, clowns wear bright colors, right? So there was red, white, and blue, and there was bright colors. And I went up to this guy and I said, any chance I could get custom clown shoes that would be just black and white? Like, I want them to look like dress shoes. And he'd never been asked that before. And they're actually made it in another country. I think they were made down in Mexico. And he said, I can do that, but you'll have to pay up front, and I'll have to make them next time I'm down in the factory and ship them to you. So it was a big trust thing. I paid him, and he said it could be 6 months. And I waited and waited. I paid over $100 for these shoes. And one day a box arrived in the mail from Mexico, and there were my beautiful giant clown shoes. Now, the reason they're so expensive is they have to be really strong because they only hold your foot along the back of your foot. The whole front of your foot is open in this big giant shoe. But when I walk into a kid's room, especially if I'm a guest speaker at another church, and I walk in with these giant shoes, the kids go nuts. And they're like, and they laugh and giggle and say, are you making fun of my feet? What's wrong with having big feet? You know, and it's kind of a fun thing. But instantly they know there's something different about me. And so I'm not saying you got to go get giant clown shoes. But, you know, I know a guy who has a big twisty tie that he wears. Dick Gruber, I know does the red sneakers thing. You know, you have to decide. In fact, my very first podcast, if you go way back in the archive, was What Are Your Red Sneakers? And I talk about it there. So you want to ask yourself, what can I do with my appearance that instantly I communicate visually that I'm the kid person, I'm the kid magnet, and kids will be drawn to you for that reason. Number two is your environment. All right, what does your room communicate to the kids when they come in? Do they instantly know they're in a kid zone, all right? Maybe your name is kid zone, right? That's why I have a set. That's why we've got toys out. That's why we try to make it fun looking. And I mentioned in the previous podcast about having a big set. Don't be jealous of people who have great sets. I've done inner city ministry. I've been in affluent communities. The cost of your set is irrelevant. In fact, I've seen churches with multi-million dollar sets that you would drool over that are less effective ministries than churches in the inner city using cardboard boxes and, you know, very little resources doing far better ministry because they were teaching effectively and they were doing relational ministry and actually teaching the Word of God and applying these principles more effectively. So environment is everything, but environment's important. When I was in a mobile church ministry in a park district building, I went to Home Depot or whatever the big box store was in that community. I got these big 4x8 sheets of cardboard or foam core or something, and we hinged them together with duct tape, and they folded up like an accordion, and we slid them somewhere behind a wall during the week, and they let us keep them there. We cut out windows and doors and hinged them with duct tape and duct taped curtains for the puppet windows, and we decorated them. And you know what? The kids didn't care because we're having fun, we're make-believing, we're playing. I've been in places where we inflated a bazillion balloons every week, put balloons out, helium balloons, regular balloons, and we had to do it every week. There's no excuse for not having a kid-friendly environment. You're limited only by your ability to work hard, your willingness to work hard and be creative and innovative. Budget helps. You know, I'm not knocking a budget. If you've got a great budget, spend money on the kids. There's no better place to spend money. But you don't have to have money. Don't let the lack of funds be an excuse to not create a visually appealing room, because you want the moment the kids come in there to think, oh, this is going to be fun, right? But it also communicates something to parents, all right? It communicates to parents visiting your church that kids are a priority at your church, and they see that. And for your volunteers as well, it's easier to recruit volunteers to come be a part of a fun ministry that's engaging than to come work in an office building, you know, where you're passing out, you know, I was going to say ditto sheets. I really aged myself. Some of you younger folks don't even know what a ditto sheet is. But environment is so important, all right? But you need to be visual. The environment needs to be visual, but we're talking about teaching, right? So that's creating the environment for teaching. That's working on the presenter, the messenger, but it's the message ultimately that's the most important, right? So your lesson needs to be visual. Don't get caught empty-handed, all right? I know I'm empty-handed right now. There, my hands are full. There's my notes, all right? Be visual, all right? You need to make sure that you're using props, that you're holding stuff, whether it's object lessons. We all know kids love object lessons, right? Whether it's magic tricks, whether it's just illustrating things, whether it's putting things on screen and just quickly going and grabbing a Google image and throwing it up on screen. You know, whether it's just showing kids things, acting things out, moving around. You know, a big part of being visual is just not standing in one place the whole time, walking around the room. Do you know, while you're teaching, and this was one of the tips on the last podcast, number 6 was get off the stage. When you're teaching, it's perfectly appropriate and okay to just get off the stage and literally walk around the whole room. You can walk around behind the kids. Make the kids completely turn their chair all the way around and follow you around the room, keeping their eyes on you. Because if they've got to follow you, you're turning off that screensaver. You're keeping their gaze on you. They're wondering, why are you walking around the room? You can walk out. I've even gone out and just sat down among the kids. We're kind of overlapping with leave the stage. But you're keeping yourself visually engaging, all right? So you want to be visually engaging. You, the room, and your lesson. I mean, I consider myself a pretty good teacher. I've been teaching kids literally since I was 10 years old and got involved in kids ministry. Many of you have heard my story and my testimony. But I've had situations where I'm driving somewhere and I get a call on the drive like, hey, Carl, we know you're coming down here and someone got sick. Would you mind teaching in our church tonight? And I literally will have a panic attack. You're thinking, could I just have a panic attack? I thought that's what you do. You got a whole website. I'll have a panic attack because I have nothing but me. Now, I can get in front of a bunch of kids and I can wing it, right? But I know the power of visual. I will look at my clock and I will see, do I have time to swing through a store, find a Walmart or a Target or a Walgreens, go to the toy aisle and rack my brain, what story can I tell? Or I love if they'll give me the topic, because then I can just immediately get creative on whatever they want me to teach on a blank piece of paper. That's the hardest thing, right? Teach on anything you want. Please give me a topic. But I will go find something. I will spend some money to go buy a toy or a visual, because I know whatever I do is half-baked if I can't add a visual. I know I will minimize it. And if I absolutely have nothing, I will go say, do you got a whiteboard? Do you got some markers? And I will draw the story. I will create a visual on the spot if I have to, because I understand how powerful visual is. You know, Jesus was visual, right? He did object lessons, right? He said, go get the coin out of that fish, all right? He zapped a plant and made it shrivel up. You know, part of the reason he did miracles is they were so visual, and healing people. It was visual, all right? He loved object lessons, all right? He created visuals in the mind by saying the kingdom of heaven is like a gate, a door, a jewel, a pearl, a treasure buried in a field. You know, creating mental visuals, because visual is so important. All right, number 9. Are you ready? Number 8 is be visual. You be visual, your room is visual, and your lesson is visual. Number 9, man, this is so important. And this one takes some intentionality. Number 9 is to use all five senses and to target all learning styles. These kind of are woven together. I could have made these separate, but I brought them together because there's some overlap. In your teaching and in your preparation, whether I'm using a curriculum or writing my own lesson, I try to be intentional in going, can I use all five senses, all right? Now, visual is the first sense, right? We talked about that, be visual, but that's just one sense, right? So what can I hold? What can I show? What can I put on a screen that's visual, all right? A lot of kids are visual learners, right? I'm an extremely visual learner, right? If I can't see something, I can't learn it. I hate driving in my car and hearing commercials on the radio. They can say their phone number 50 times. I don't have the phone number. That's why newer cars have a screen. They'll display the phone number, the website on the screen. I have a much better chance of remembering that just because I saw it on the screen because I'm visual, all right? But the next sense is that auditory, the listening. That's why it's so important to have kids say things with you, to repeat things after you, all right? Not just to show it, but to say it, to all say a phrase together, to have kids read things. If you know kids that are auditory, have them read things to you. You want to hit the ears, you want to hit the eyes, and then the mouth is to have them speak it back. We want to have kids saying things, repeating things. You know, one of the reasons I love about being a teacher is I learn more because if I prepare to teach something, as I teach it, I learn it. Some of these people say, well, how do you know the Word of God so well? How do you know so much Scripture? Well, part of that is because I've been teaching it for decades. Because as I have said God's Word, as I have taught God's Word, I've become a master or scholar of God's Word. If I had just read God's Word or watched movies about God's Word, I would have a certain depth of knowledge. But teaching, you learn. When you say things, your retention goes up so much more. So even having kids turn and tell your neighbor our main point today and repeating it out loud, or share with your neighbor three things that you know, think whatever that has to do with the topic, discussion questions. That's why breaking into small groups is so important, because kids need to speak what they're learning. That's the third sense. Now, they get a little harder from there. The physical, the kinesthetic, the touching, the moving. All right, that's why passing things around the room. You know, you're talking about the walls of Jerusalem, taking a brick and just passing the brick around the room, and having every kid just feel a brick. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but when a kid's just feeling that brick, and then you're saying, now picture a whole wall made of those bricks, and then an entire city covered with those bricks, and they all came crashing in on their own. That kinesthetic leader is making a connection to that story that otherwise a wall was just an abstract concept. So you ask yourself, is there something I can pass around? Is there something kids can touch? Like right now, we're doing the spooky lessons through the Bible. So you can go to kidology.org/spooky. By the time you watch this, October, it's a little late for you to teach it, but next year, right? But they're reaching into a spooky box and they're feeling something gross and trying to guess what it is. That's either eyeballs that are peeled grapes, or brains that's spaghetti, or teeth that's like dried corn, you know. But that sensory, that touching is so important. The hardest one is the sense of smell. And you're not going to get that very often, all right? Unless there's a kid that didn't take a bath for a couple days, then everyone around him gets the sense of smell. But you can do it. You know, you could be teaching on Jesus being the bread of life, and you could have a bread maker backstage, and you could be talking about bread, and the kids are like, man, I smell the bread. I had a leader one time, teacher told me at a conference that she was telling a story about cookies, and she really wanted the kids to use their imagination, and she timed some chocolate chip cookies to be either baking or brought backstage. I don't remember the details of how she did it, but the aroma of those chocolate chip cookies, aided by a fan or something, the kids started saying, we smell the cookies. And she was applauding them for their great imaginations. And it was torturing them because they kept saying, no, no, we actually smell the cookies. She's like, no, 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 this is your imagination. And finally she relented after the story and brought the cookies out, and the kids all got to have a cookie. So smell's a hard one, but there are times, bad smells, good smells, that you can incorporate into your story. Now, Obviously, you can't do it every week. But the fact that you can't do it every week is not a bad thing. It just means that when you do incorporate it, then it makes it all that much more powerful because it's unique and it stands out. You know, your lessons are the scope of your teaching is kind of like a roller coaster ride. Every single week can't be the thrilling downward. There's those chugs, and there's the loops. You want to have variety. But boy, when you can incorporate that smell or touch or those extra senses, it's powerful. So try to always say, how can I incorporate as many senses as possible throughout my lesson? But it's also important to hit different learning styles. God wired all your kids different. He wired all of us different. We tend to teach the way we like to learn. Like, I'm a very visual learner, so I'm going to err toward teaching visually. But I'm deaf in one ear. I have 50% hearing, so I'm going to tend to devalue the power of auditory learning because it's not very helpful for me. But there's kids that are completely opposite. So I've got to work on that. And then kinesthetic would be my other one. I'm a mover. I'm ADHD, right? I got to get out of my seat. I've always joked I got to teach workshops because I can't sit through them, right? And so we need to make sure we get all types of those kids involved. So visual, you got to show them. Auditory, you got to tell them. Kinesthetic, you got to let them touch and you got to let them move. And so it's just as you're planning your lesson, you ask yourself, what can I do? Can there be a response they make where they're jumping out of their chairs, where they're running around the rooms, scrambling and finding a new chair? You know, I put dots on chairs of different colors and had a spinner, right? Spin the spinner. And whatever dot it lands on, all those kids have to scramble and find and switch chairs and get in a different chair of that color. You can be so creative. You can have a big old dice that you roll, and whatever number it lands on, the chairs with that number, they all have to scramble. You just get creative and you make it fun and interactive, but you go, kids have got to move. They've got to get out of their chairs. You can do category games with things on the walls where they've got to run to different walls. You can do vote with your feet games where things are on the screen and they go to the wall that they think's the right answer. Instead of just, you know, who thinks it's true, raise your hand. Who thinks it's false, raise your hand. True's on one wall, false on the other wall. They got to go to the walls. They're getting out of their chairs. They're moving around. So you want to make sure that it's kinesthetic. Move the kids. If it's possible to do based on your setting, if you've got a story and you're going to tell a story that Jesus told on the mountainside, and you've got a door right there on your room that goes outside and there's a nice tree out there and some grass, why not just take all the kids outside and sit under the tree and gather around and tell the Bible story? And after the story, go back inside. Just that little break. They will remember that story and they'll remember the setting. You know how sometimes you'll be driving somewhere and you'll remember the song that was on the radio the last time you were driving in that place? Because our brains are powerful. They associate memories with places and we make these strange connections. Well, you can be intentional in creating those kind of connections for your kids, and variety and creativity put those things together. All right, so be visual. You, your environment, your teaching, use all the senses, the hearing, the seeing, the smelling, tasting, as well as touching, all right? And and smelling. We got all of them. And then learning styles, auditory, visual, kinesthetic. There's other learning styles, but those are the basic three. Number 10, my absolute favorite. I could have made this number one, but they say to save the greatest for the latest, right? Save the best for last. And this one is honestly the single most important secret. If you don't do this one, all the rest are going to bomb, all right? You can be lousy at all the other ones, and if you got this one, it's going to make up, all right? You might be thinking, yeah, I'm not that good at turning spectators into participants. This will make up for it. You might create an experience that totally bombs. This will make up for it. You might plan a surprise that totally flops. This one will make up for it. You might try to start with a bang and it didn't really go well. This will make up for it. This is the thing that fixes everything. It's what will actually bring your visitors back. You think your visitors are going to come back because your lesson was so good? You think a visitor is going to go home and say, oh, Mom and Dad, the way that Pastor Carl exegeted that Bible passage, the way he interpreted that Greek word and made it plain and understandable to me, wow, we got to go back to that church. Now, I do exegete Greek, believe it or not, in children's church. You know, the way he defined that abstract spiritual concept and brought it down to earth in a concrete, physical way through an object lesson, you know, his puppet. Oh, they might come back because of the puppet. I think they like the puppet Gus better than me. No, this is the thing that will bring them back. You ready for it? The number one tip. It's number 10 on our list, but it's number one. And I think it's one that a lot of people miss. All right. I'll tell you what it isn't. All right. It isn't make church fun. All right. Church should be fun. And I hear lots about making church fun for the kids. In fact, I've talked about that. If you remember in the first podcast of this series, I gave you a definition for fun. F-U-N, be funny, unexpected, and do things that are new, right? So I'm not against fun, but it's not just about making it fun for the kids. Here's the power tip. Number one tip, all right? You must have fun, all right? The best secret for effective, for great kid communicators is have fun. Oh man, can I just tell you, if you are having a blast, if you are having fun yourself, I'm not talking about the kids, I'm talking about you. If you are having fun teaching, if you love your job, you're loving your time with the kids, they're gonna love it too. All right, it's a contagious atmosphere that you will create. And it also means nothing can go wrong. I mean, your science experiment blows up. Your skit, someone forgets their lines. You misspeak, and I almost did it in this podcast. I forget now what I was saying, but I was saying if you do that. One time I was talking to the kids about if you do what the Bible says. When I said if you do what the Bible says, and the kids, he said do, and I lost total control. I'm like, oh, don't go home and tell the kids that Pastor Carl said do in church. So that I said, if you do apply these, go back and listen to the podcast. You'll notice I almost said do, and I said if you do apply, and you'll catch my hesitation. But, you know, you'll misspeak, you'll say funny things, and you know what? If you're having fun, the kids will have fun. One of the most important things you can do is just have fun, all right? It's powerful, right? Sometimes we take ourselves too seriously. I mean, we want everything to go smoothly. We want our transitions to go smoothly. We want the magic trick to fool everybody with the object lesson to work. And I can't tell you how many times I get emails on Kidology. I downloaded this object lesson and it didn't work. And they're mad at me. And I'm like, well, did you practice it? No. Well, maybe you should have practiced it, you know. There's one somewhere on there about I think you put a match in a bottle and it'll suck an egg or something. And years ago, a guy wrote me a really flaming mad email because the hard-boiled egg would not suck into the bottle. And I've never done the object lesson. I think I've been too scared to try it. You know, but he was so mad at me. And I was like, well, I'm sorry. I haven't actually done that one. Someone else submitted that. Did you try it at home first? He's like, well, maybe I should have done that. You know, but your object lessons are going to go bad. Your magic trick's going to flop. There's one where I think if you light a match, a flame, a candle underneath a balloon that's got water in it, the balloon won't pop. I also haven't tried that one. And I had a friend do that, and the balloon exploded. Water went everywhere. I was out of town. He was a guest speaker for me while I was on vacation. And I watched the video, and he handled it so well. He was laughing, and the kids were laughing. Water went everywhere. I was like, Pastor Carl's going to be so mad at me. And then he's like, well, here's what it was supposed to do, and here's what it was supposed to teach, you know. And I tell you what, it was actually better that the balloon popped, because that's all the kids talked about, was how the balloon was not supposed to pop and the balloon popped, but how God will protect us. And God never pops, you know, God never messes up. So you just got to have fun. You know, one of the things we do that's just so fun, and we actually just did this last Sunday, is we have one of those teepee bazookas, right? If you go to kidology.org/teepee bazooka, you can get all the plans. It's Roger Field's invention. And if we get a bunch of visitors, I'll go, oh, we got some visitors. You know what that means? And my leader's like, no, on? I go backstage. I come out with a roll of toilet paper, and they're like, what are you doing that? And I come out with a teepee cannon, and we shoot the teepee cannon. We shoot toilet paper everywhere, and one of my leaders acts like she doesn't like the teepee cannon, and we've got the offering monster with the vacuum cleaner, and she acts scared of that, and sometimes it catches her hair or whatever. It catches me in the cheek, and it's sucking my cheek, and we're just laughing and having fun. It has nothing to do with the lesson, but we're earning the respect and the love of the kids, and it's so powerful. And sometimes, you know, we interrupt each other. We'll tease each other. We always tease in a way that's appropriate and modeling and complimentary. Because you are modeling interpersonal relationships, so our stuff's always innocent and fun. But I'll call her Serious Sarah, and she's not serious at all. And I love saying, oh, I'm very serious. We don't allow laughter here. Stop laughing. The kids are just laughing hysterically. My favorite line is, quit laughing or I'll give you a reason to laugh. And so the kids are laughing. But we're having so much fun. And I know, and I've heard this from parents, the kids come back because it's fun. But it's not that our game was fun. It's not that the puppet was funny. It's not that, you know, the video was funny. It's that the atmosphere was fun. It's that the leaders were laughing and the interaction was fun. Because if your people want to be, you know fun people, right? That just come into a room and it's just a fun environment. That's how you want it to be. And so you need to have fun. So let's review these secrets. You can listen to the other. If you haven't heard the other two podcasts, go back and listen to them. All right, this is podcast 147. Go back and listen to 145 and 146. But let me go through them one last time. Start with a bang, all right? No locomotives. You're a horse out of the gate. Boom, start. Plan surprises. As soon as something happens unexpected, the kids are on the edge of their seat. Break the mold. The mold's whatever you usually do. Sometimes you got to break the mold. Turn spectators into participants. Create experiences, because kids learn when they feel the point of the lesson, not just hear it from you. Get off the stage. Get out with the kids. On stage, you're an authority. Off stage, you're authentic. Use God's word, all right? And don't ask the kids to do anything that you're not willing to do yourself. If you want them to memorize a verse, you better memorize it first, all right? And then today we talked about being visual. You looking visual, your environment, your room being visual, and of course your lesson being visual. And then try to use all five senses and target all different learning styles. But most of all, make sure that you are having fun. If you're having fun, the kids are having fun. And the kids are having fun, they're learning. You know, we learn the most through our entertainment. When we read fiction books, when we watch fiction movies, we learn more. Our worldview is affected, because all of our evaluating, all of our judgment goes down, and everything comes in unfiltered. And the same is true learning spiritually. When we're just having fun and enjoying ourselves, we become more receptive to what God wants to communicate to our hearts and to our minds. So go be an amazing kid communicator and change lives for Jesus. Thanks for hanging out with me today.